The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Thank you. Right now, a few clouds.
Outside of the smoke. Otherwise, you know what? It's great.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
I like the optimism, but my goodness.
You know, it's so disappointing. And I've done a couple stories today because, you know, I'm working at different angles on the air quality alert.
Yeah.
I talked to the mayor of Grand Marais.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, she's telling me what it's like
up there. It's worse up there, right?
And you can see it, just the lighthouse up there right at the tip. And that, you know, people do change their plans. If you've got a big boundary water trip.
Yes. Would you want to go? No.
I don't know. Particularly if I had a little trouble. You know, I have, you know me, I'm a lung cancer survivor.
Correct.
I don't want to do anything to hurt anymore. I want to keep that stuff intact.
Yeah, that, I mean, you know, I've made fun of all of the alerts and the advisories. Like, I don't know that I need a million alerts. Like, I sort of get the bit. You go outside, it's gross. I get it. But this summer has to be intolerable for asthmatics. For, you know me, like, I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who have allergies.
I want to say you don't have sympathy for many people. But
but the people who have trouble breathing,
yes.
You're like, your life is difficult as it is.
Right.
And now we got this. And
One doctor at the University of Minnesota, she said, you know, it's gotten to the point where they talk to their patients and basically set up game plans for them to plan to be homebound all summer long.
Wow.
You know, oxygen. This is here. That's there. You know that you're going to not be outside.
If you take away Minnesota summers, then what? Then what
then
do we have?
Then nothing.
Yeah?
I say, don't come here.
That's Susie Jones, WCCO.
Any U-Haul.
Listen,
how about those twins?
I mean, it's just one punch in the nuts after the next, right?
You know what? And Dan Cook. Our beloved producer sort of gave me the lowdown. Walked by, said, hey, what's going on? You know me, I'm sort of dumb about a lot of things. And I said, where are we? How far away from 500? Well, blah, blah, blah. But then he said, you know, all indications are they're throwing in the towel. I said, oh. And then he started saying this and that and this and that and that and that. And I'm like, wow. Because, as Dan said.
I mean, he answered your question. That's what's so astonishing.
No, it was just very well
detailed. He gave you detailed, but well thought out.
Dan, I'd like you to repeat that. Whether you're 5 games out of 500 or 25 games,
it's not even really about 500. It's whether you miss the playoffs by 5 games or by 20 games is kind of irrelevant. You still miss the playoffs. So if they've determined that this team isn't going to make the playoffs, then they're going to start shipping out pieces and trying to build up some farm players, because it doesn't matter if they miss by 5 or if they miss by 20.
How do they make the decision? I know we haven't actually started your show, and I should probably shut up and let him start the show, or we could blow up right past
it. We can do whatever we want.
Point being, how do the powers that be make that decision? 5 games versus 20 out of the playoffs.
Well, those are just random numbers.
They are.
But the point being that, you know, you have to assess, as the leadership of this team, Derek Falvey, Jeremy Zoll, Rocco Baldelli, you have to look at this roster and say, this is how it's performed for this portion of the season. Do we see a massive turnaround coming here? Or when they came out of the All-Star break and there should have been a sense of urgency and there should have been a need to play well and they didn't, that tells you kind of what you need to know at that point.
Boy, that's interesting, because I've seen seasons go before, Dan, where we have made some big trades about now.
Right.
Is Tomey, right? Wasn't the big hitter?
Sure.
Yeah. And then we did make a nice run.
If you thought that you were that one or two pieces away, that may be the thing.
Maybe you would, but we're not.
That's not what they're seeing here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you know, it's like you've had days on this job where, like, you start your newscast, you get about 1.5 stories in, you're like, I'm selling at this point. Like, I'm throwing in the towel.
I'm mailing it in.
This thing's not, this one's not going to be the Marconi. It's not going to be this one.
That's right. I guess I would have to agree.
Sometimes you
got to
throw it in.
Not everyone is going to be a home run. Not everyone is going to be a home run.
Yeah. My attitude is every show is going to be a home run. That's also a lie.
You know what
I
like to say to you?
It's a straight up lie.
Do you know what else?
That'll be appearing as a liner in about 15 minutes.
I just want to make sure that Jason DeRusha does not drown by staring lovingly at himself in the pond. That's what a narcissist is. It is. You love yourself so much, you bring yourself to a great demise.
Right. So you are doing us all a favor by making sure I don't, you know,
drown.
I just stay egotistical, not narcissist.
Correct.
It's
a fine line.
Very fine line. But I try to dance right on it.
I know you do. I know. You kind of get real snuggly with it.
Susie, this was fun.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
I think we have some other things to do now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I've overstayed my welcome.
I would never say that, but I would think it.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Susie Jones, do we have to hit anything or can we just go, Dan? What do you think? Let's just start the lead.
The headlines you might have missed. Without missing a beat. This is your fast pass through the biggest and most impactful stories of the day. Welcome to the Rush Hour Headlines, starting with the lead.
Lead story is the most dramatic and interesting in action that you could have imagined from the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, which decided today, the Fed decided, not to reduce interest rates. But there were two members of the voting body that disagreed, that said we should make a cut. And the last time that happened was 1993. To have dissension? Well, let's see how unusual is it. Dr. Tyler Shipper from the University of St. Thomas. He is an economics professor. He's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How strange is it, Tyler?
It is very intriguing, I would say, that it's very rare for members of the Board of Governors to vote in opposition to the chair. It's much more likely to see members of the individual reserve branches do that. But even that's relatively rare, that members of the Federal Open Market Committee usually vote together with only very rare dissensions.
So is that because of a difference in philosophy, or is that because the data on what's going on with the economy is sort of mixed and confusing?
You know, I could make a reasonable argument that the two members of the board that voted to actually lower rates believe that they think that maybe the Federal Reserve needs to get out in front of a slowing economy. The cynic in me looks at those two board members and also say these are both Trump appointees who are looking at a Federal Reserve chair that is almost certainly not going to be reappointed, and they're trying to position themselves to be the next chair of the Federal Reserve. So you can either go kind of that cynical or say that it's very much in their best intentions, that they just want the Federal Reserve to not act too slowly.
When you look at this as an economist, you know, the president seems to be largely motivated in wanting rates to be lower in order to reduce costs to the federal government. The Fed chairman this afternoon said government cost is not a factor that the central bank considers. What is your take when you look at the fact that, you know, the economy did grow? The latest data that came out does sort of maybe give a little bit of credence to the idea that it would be an okay time to lower some interest rates.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that the Federal Reserve has two goals, right? They do want the economy to grow, but they're also worried about prices and inflation. And right now they're being very cautious because of tariffs, that the median member on the Federal Reserve wants or believes that we're still going to see some bigger price increases in the future, and they want to guard against those future price increases, or at least the uncertainty of it. And so if they're looking at an economy that still seems to be growing enough, a labor market that still seems to be creating enough jobs, they think they have some space to kind of wait and see what the eventual effects of tariffs are. So it is still kind of a wait and see approach. And maybe you're seeing those two members that are saying, you know, we've seen enough data to be comfortable with starting to lower rates.
As far as, you know, our regular listeners, the regular participants in the economy, you know, those of us who are not borrowing money all the time, maybe we're watching the stock market, which obviously the stock market would like to see rates lower. The stocks are freaking out at near the close today. What should the regular person think or make about all of this? Does this really matter to the regular person?
You know, I think that rate cuts do matter to the regular person, whether that's somebody that has credit card debt and is trying to get out of it, or somebody that's looking to buy a house, the high interest rates right now do matter to people. And so to that extent, yes, myself included, I would like to see lower interest rates. And it is hard to think about what the downside is. And that downside is that if prices go back to increasing like they did in 22 and into 23, that was even more painful for people. Mm-hmm. And so the Federal Reserve is just being very cautious in wanting to guard against that. Now, most likely circumstance, and Jerome Powell said this in his press conference today, would be that tariffs drive up prices, but they don't create a cycle of inflation. So it's a one-time increase in prices as we adjust to that new price level, but it doesn't create like an inflationary cycle so much like we saw in 22 and 23. So as soon as they start seeing kind of the prices are actually in the data and it's not continuing, that will be probably when we start to see rate decreases sometime this fall.
All right. September is the next crack at it. So we'll see. But intriguing to say the least. We appreciate the time. Tyler Shipper, Associate Professor of Economics at the University of St. Thomas. Thanks, Tyler.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Next up on the lead, great news for a dozen hospitals in Minnesota, which have just shown up on the best hospitals in America list from U.S. News and World Report. And I am always a little hesitant when it comes to these lists to figure out, all right, is this a nonsense list or a real list? Mayo Clinic in Rochester, CentraCare St. Cloud, M Health Fairview at the University of Minnesota Medical Center, then a couple of Lina, M Health Fairview Southdale. So all of these and more on this list. Let's go to the senior health data analyst for U.S. News and World Report, Chelsea Wen. Chelsea has a master's degree in epidemiology, so this is not some sort of nonsense, goofy, like, internet list. Chelsea, like, how big of a deal is it for Minnesota to have 11 or 12 or whatever it is hospitals on this list?
I would say that Minnesota in general has really impressive performance. You know, as you mentioned, there are 9 best regional hospitals just in that Minneapolis metro area. And to be a best regional hospital, you have to have at least 8 high-performing ratings across the procedures and conditions that we evaluate. And then in the state of Minnesota, there are 11 best regional hospitals. And of course, the number one hospital in Minnesota, Mayo Clinic Rochester, is also on our honor roll list. So that is the top 20 hospitals in the entire nation across all areas of care. So it's really a standout performance.
What are the different categories or ways that you analyze this to create the list for U.S. News and World Report?
We try to evaluate hospitals and assign them ratings that are specific to a procedure or a condition that's being treated. We find that is most useful for people who are seeking these types of treatments. So for example, we evaluate 22 procedures and conditions. So that covers some of the highest volume, the most common areas of care for Americans. So for example, that includes hip replacement, knee replacement, heart failure, diabetes, COPD, back surgery. And then we also rank hospitals in specialties, which are going to cover more complex cases and higher risk patients. So that includes areas like orthopedics, geriatrics, diabetes and endocrinology, and also cancer.
Our guest is Chelsea Wen from U.S. News and World Report, data analyst. So, Chelsea, you know, as someone who lives in the world, that data can only tell us so much. What is the takeaway for you if you were in Minnesota looking at this list of all these ranked hospitals in Minnesota? What would your takeaway be?
I think that in Minnesota, there's a really strong showing, even besides the numerical rankings. When you look at the entire nation and you try to see the difference between rank number one and rank number two, is there really a difference? You know, I think the top 50 are all exceptional. And then when you zoom into your local area, if you're looking at the hospitals that are in your area and you see that one is rated as high performing in hip replacement, or they're rated as high performing in colon cancer surgery, that's a really strong indicator of their quality, regardless of if they have a number assigned to them.
Makes sense.
So I just want to encourage people to have faith in that high-performing status by itself.
Yeah, I mean, only 500 hospitals out of the almost 4,500 that you evaluated make these ratings. So it's a pretty big deal. Really appreciate the insight. Chelsea Wen, Senior Health Data Analyst at U.S. News and World Report. Chelsea, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That is the lead. Page two is coming your way in just a couple minutes, including a story about a local pizza shop that has gone viral after a rise in people taking food out of its dumpster. What they did next is why people are responding. We'll talk about that in page two. And don't forget to line up your enoughs. We'll let you vent about things you've had enough of after 5:30. So send in a voice message. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, you don't have to wait 12 minutes for that segment. Click the microphone. Send us a message with what you are fed up with. Coming up.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
D Rush Hour News Headlines continues with page two, and we start with a pizza shop in Columbia Heights that is going viral because people were dumpster diving to take trash pizza.
Oh, but no anchovies. And I mean no anchovies. You put anchovies on this thing and you're in big trouble, okay?
Bring me the news writing about this today based on the incredible outpouring to a Facebook post that Columbia Heights Pizza Man owner Chris Kolstad. Now, Chris Kolstad was on our show on DeRussia Eats, boy, at least a year ago. His personal story is amazing. He was, at a younger age, in trouble with the law. He served time. And then he opened up this pizza shop. And once again, Chris showing us all what it means to be empathetic. On Facebook, he writes, and this was yesterday afternoon, I don't even know how to start this post, but here goes. Recently, we've noticed a rapidly increasing volume of evidence of people eating out of our dumpster. Please do not eat out of our dumpster. Nobody deserves that. If you are desperate, if you are that desperate for food, please come ask. If you are too embarrassed to ask, find a way to call us and ask if there is a way to leave a small cheese pizza outside the back door or something. You don't even have to see us. If you are the ones doing so, leave me a note, and we'll find a way to leave any extras or mistakes out back so you have something to eat without going through the trash. If you see this, I'll be leaving a cheese pizza outside the back door in the spot you've been leaving boxes. More than 1,000 shares, 4,000 likes on this post. Man, you hope you would respond that way, right? I think a lot of us wouldn't. You'd just be frustrated. Like, stop digging through my trash. You're making a mess. Here's this guy, Chris Kolstad, saying, I get that you are in a low spot. Nobody wants to be going through the trash. If you do have money and can't afford going out to eat for pizza, the Heights Pizza Man seems like a pretty good guy to support tonight. Bring me the news reporting that they had like a Venmo where people could donate if they wanted to help with this effort. And he says they're going to use the funds to help local organizations that support people in need. And they'll post on Facebook exactly what they do with that money. Pretty cool. Some new laws will be taking effect on Friday. And the Pioneer Press is on it. August 1st. Are you ready for August? It's Friday. That's going to be my first enough. Summer. Enough. Stop moving so fast. Some of the new laws I found interesting. Mary Murphy, Forum News Service, writing this. Now, one is some tougher penalties for DWI. I think that's good. There's some new procedures for the interlock device where you have to do the breathalyzer to be able to drive. Now, they'll look back 20 years. So it's not just 10 years. They'll look back 20 years to determine whether or not you have to use an interlock device. I think that's good. Cities and counties will now be able to perform background checks on massage parlor applications and adult entertainment applications. Great. Fine. And the speed limit for implements of husbandry is going up. Now, Dan, do you know what an implement of husbandry is?
Sure.
You do?
Do you?
No. I didn't know until I read it.
You're the one with the story sitting right in front of
your face. Well, now I know.
Okay, then.
I thought an implement of husbandry was just my wife kind of nagging for me to clean up my underwear off the floor. Am I right? Self-propelled or towed vehicle designed to be used for timber harvesting, agricultural, horticultural, or livestock raising operations.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
So the maximum speed limit used to be 30 miles an hour. And boy, when you're trying to haul around some timber or... And now it's 35 miles an hour. They said bipartisanship was dead, but no. Our legislature agreed to raise the speed limit for implements of husbandry. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. In just a minute, enough. The things in your life that are driving you crazy, that you can't stand it anymore, that you wish just people would stop doing it, stop saying it. You wish the government would stop doing it. Let's hear it. You wait, maybe the twins. This may be a twins themed enough. 651-461-9226. Let us have it here on Drive Time.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I have had enough!
Enough is enough!
Enough!
Oh, so many things to get off your chest that you've had enough of, from road construction to politics to the Minnesota Twins. We're going to give Sean the first word on this. Sean in Brooklyn Park is on the CCO Talk and Text line. Sean, you get to start us off. What have you had enough of?
Well, this is a story that happened about 15 years ago. And it was back when I was drinking, and I've been sober for 15 years. So it happens to be, I live in a cul-de-sac in Brooklyn Park.
Okay.
And we have one house that was rental for a while, and a Muslim family had moved in there. And I was working out in the yard one day, and all of a sudden, like 50 people came out into the circle and started walking around in a circle and yelling and screaming and hollering and stuff. I looked over at them, and they just kept doing it. I finally hit the panic button on my truck, and the beeper went off, and they all stopped in their tracks, and I go, enough!
All right. Not really the spirit of what we're doing here. Sean sharing a time in his life that he yelled enough. Okay. 651. I don't even know what to say. Like, yeah. Okay. I guess we got to ask maybe a few more questions as to what people are going to say if that's what they're going to do to us, Dan.
I tell you what, we haven't had enough of yet.
What's that?
Minnesota Twins trade.
Oh.
These are just coming across the wire
all
now.
Right.
The Minnesota Twins are trading closer Yoan Duran to the Phillies for prospects catcher Eduardo Tate and right-handed pitcher Mick Abel. So a couple of prospects. For Johan Duran, who's now headed to Philadelphia.
All right. That just coming across. Is that, I don't know anything about these guys. Is that good?
Tate is the number four prospect in the Phillies system, according to Dan Hayes.
He's a catcher.
MLB has a 55 grade on him on the 20 to 80 scale. Twins have very good grades on him. This is, again, according to Dan Hayes. And Abel has shown great stuff in limited MLB action with the Phillies, again, according to Dan Hayes, our guy from The Athletic. So,
all right. We'll keep watching that. Some Twins themed. I believe we got a message on the voice message line on the Odyssey app where you can send us a message at any time. Here we go. Let's hear it.
I've had enough of the Twins losing because it's really going to screw up the nature.
No. Yeah?
So there's that.
All right. Jason, I've had enough of people needing to buy the newest, coolest water bottle. It's some kind of status symbol. The water bottle thing is very interesting to me. Now, I've got like a fake, Stanley dupe. So the Stanley was sort of the, is that what started this? I don't know. We had like, I feel like we've been in water bottle as the equivalent to the handbag for a while now. Like what was the hydro flask? That was the first one, right? And then right now, what is the cool water bottle now? Because both of my sons have it.
I know. I lost track at Stanley. That was the last one.
That was it?
Yeah.
Owala. I think is that the one? That my wife has them. The kids have them. Yeah, it's the Owala. So I'm looking at the Target website right now. Because the water bottle craziness is out of control. I guess in the scheme of status symbols, water bottle is a fairly inexpensive status symbol, right? It's not like a Gucci bag.
Right.
Or
fairly innocuous as those things go, yes.
But I do admit having like a little bit of water bottle envy because both of my kids have this Owala and it's like a straw thing. It's only $30, right?
I was going to say.
How big of a water bottle do you like?
The one that I have.
Dan is going to his backpack.
It's 24 ounces.
All right.
So.
There was a Saturday Night Live skit that was very funny about the Big Dumb Cup. And it was sort of satirizing the influencers needing like the largest water bottle in the world. I just wonder, like, my water bottle here is 30 ounces. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Not real convenient to carry around.
No, that's the trick.
But the Big Dumb Cup is sort of, it's sort of the trend, for sure. Nalgene, that is true. A texter saying, so Nalgene
is the...
was that our era?
It was a camper's, that's, the outdoorsy one, that's kind of where that started, and then it crossed over into being a personal...
Being cool.
...carry around water bottle, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's a fair thing to say, enough.
Sure.
Too. Better than saying Muslim people making some noise in the cul-de-sac. That would be like a racist sort of...
Yes.
I don't want to assume. Maybe he just like had a negative reaction to noise.
Sure.
That's possible.
I don't know. Anytime you break out the Muslim, that's a bad sign.
Not great.
So that's not, here's what I've had enough of.
Yes.
I've had enough. So I live in an apartment building. That means you're going to expect a certain amount of noise above and beyond.
For sure.
But when you're doing some sort of construction in the area and the construction truck is backing up repeatedly with the beep, beep, beep at 7:30 in the morning, I've had enough of that.
What time is a good time, you think, to start? What's a valid time?
9 o'clock.
Because the law, I think, is 7, right?
I have no idea what the law is.
I think there's like noise ordinance.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock on a weekday is pretty late to get started on.
Not my problem. People are trying to sleep. 9 o'clock.
I don't think most people are sleeping until 9 o'clock.
I don't care what
they?
Most people are trying to do. I care what I'm trying to do. And at 7:30 in the morning, I'm trying to sleep.
I mean, 9 o'clock. I guess if since we've turned today's enough into me judging whether or not your enough is valid or not.
Sure.
I mean, our first caller started. I would say you're wrong.
Well, I'm not wrong about you would agree with 7:30 is too early.
Yeah, I would be annoyed.
You would be annoyed at 7:30.
I would be annoyed.
Okay, so you're disagreeing with the 9 o'clock. That's fine. But 7:30 in the morning is way too early for that nonsense.
It's the beep, beep, beep. Oh. I get.
And it's the consistency of it because they're, you know, there's not a huge amount of area for this thing to position itself. So it's got to pull up, back up, do that sort of wedging thing.
We get we get the trash pickup.
Sure.
At the townhomes that are out my back, window.
Yeah.
And that usually comes at 6:30 in the morning on Friday.
Nope.
I do not appreciate that because it's a beep, beep, beep backup situation. Yeah. If you're just picking up the even that is loud. The thing. Dump it all in.
Yeah, I get that all the time. And, I sort of get that. But that's relatively brief duration.
You can go back to bed.
This thing was going on forever.
All right. More of your enough. Non-racist at 651-461-9226. Drive Time returns in just a minute. Carrie in Apple Valley is on the line with an enough. Carrie, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So I was calling to say that I've had enough of people when you go out, whether it's just with a friend, a boyfriend, a group of friends, whatever, that don't know how to tip.
And
they're the ones that are the most needy too, and then they don't tip.
Always, the water needs to be refilled. They need to change the order off the menu. Oh, can you do this substitution? Can you do that?
And I was in the industry for a while. Not anymore, but that was the most, it was always that was how it was. You'd work,
I always worry, like, when I split the bill with someone, you're like, well, I want to give what I want to give, and I always worry that they cheap out, and then I look like a jerk, you know what I mean?
Yes, I'm always looking over, making sure that whoever, and then the worst is when they hide it, and you're like, no, I want to make sure that the person got taken care of,
I know it. That's very good. Good call, Carrie. Thank you. I think that we have gone so far with the, like, I'm fed up with tipping culture, the fact that we get asked to tip at everything, at the Twins game, at the Timberwolves game, at the coffee shop. I feel like I got asked to tip at a gas station once when I was inside. I'm like, no. But you still have to tip. Enough with fees added on tickets. I know it's all in pricing, but those fees still exist. Enough on the smoke. Enough of influencers, says one texter.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, you know what?
Don't come for the influencers.
Don't come for my money, okay? You can come for whatever you want with me. Don't come for my money.
Twins trade Johan Duran. Henry will have more coming up.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.